again to James Henry Bedell for the awesome tunes. On this episode of Climate Champions, I talk with April Bulduk, founder and CEO of S-Curve Strategies. S-Curve consults with utilities, charging station and advanced technology providers, states and municipalities, basically any entity that is asking how to improve the deployment of electric vehicles. April ensures the smooth development of internal and external EV deployment programs, focusing on the superfecta of utilities, regulators, excited customers, and EV collaboratives. April Bulduk, welcome to Climate Champions. I'm excited to talk to you about your company, S-Curve Strategies. I will say that I offered up different names for the company, but you turned them down. I think I had the most names, and obviously not the top. So to start off, can you talk a little bit about your company, what it does?
Yeah, so first, thank you for having me. This is really exciting. Topics that I love talking about, electric vehicles, electric utilities, climate change, how they all come together. S-Curve Strategies is a consulting company, so we help utilities, charging station companies, advanced technology companies, municipalities, and even states launch their EV charging programs and also their EV programs in general. So a lot of customers are getting electric cars and they're coming to their utility and saying, how do I charge? Where do I charge? And we help utilities set up their programs internally and then also help roll them out externally. So it's been a lot of fun.
So when people ask me what you do and I say you do communications, that's really selling it short, because you do, first of all, internal and external, and it's more than just communications. It's really an entire program around electric vehicles.
Exactly. It's about the whole strategy. So communications is one tactic within that entire electric vehicle program strategy. So the marketing is definitely key, but it's fascinating to see how internal programs, once that's set up well, that can roll out to the customers very well. If it's not set up well, then it really puts a wrench in your communications.
Okay. So when we first started working together, you're going to be more accurate than I am, but I recall you worked with me on external communications for smart grid and grid modernization. Is that close?
That is correct. That's okay. Very correct.
All right.
Yeah. So I had the great opportunity of being able to, prior to this role, you know, work on the smart grid side for a utility, work on microgrids, talking about how electric vehicles gets added into that equation. But really, it started with the microgrid and having our region here in the San Diego region just really being one of the leaders. You, of course, leading that.
Hey. I don't need any additional self-promotion. So we knew each other at SDG&E. What made you go out on your own?
It's interesting because as I was, all the executives at SDG&E were asking to meet when I announced that I was leaving, and, you know, what was my business plan? And I said, well, since I've spent, you know...
I don't want what you told them.
Yeah.
I want the truth.
No, this is exactly the truth. And it was interesting because I was getting so many calls from other utilities saying, how are you doing the EV program that you're doing and having the successes that you're having? And so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, over the years as I'm getting these calls, that I can monetize this. And that's exactly what I said at my exit interviews. And they all said, that's a good business plan.
Very nice. Very nice. So you went out on your own. Opportunity was knocking.
Exactly. And it's such a specific area. I mean, that I help utilities launch their electric vehicle programs is very specific, and not a lot of people are doing that.
Exactly. And certainly not a lot are doing it well. So there's a lot of potential there. You mentioned attaching EVs to climate, to, I guess, grid modernization. I'd like to hear about the climate piece.
Sure.
So what was your aha moment on climate when you felt that was a motivator for you, something you wanted to engage in?
Well, I just think every utility should have an EV program because it's the number one way that we're going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. I've been driving all electric since 2010, so I haven't been to drive an all electric car, so I haven't been to a gas station in that amount of time. And the side benefit of reducing GHG emissions is that we're impacting climate change in a positive way. But the technology is so cool that you're doing it in a fun way. The cars are fast, they're easy to drive, and, you know, I'm sitting on the freeway and a lot of traffic, and everybody else is emitting traffic except for us EV drivers.
You know, I feel like you're implementing a program talking to me because you're yeah. all excited about it.
I am excited about it. It's, yeah. I mean, as I tell people, I talk cars all day long. And what better way to impact climate change in a positive way than through electric vehicles? And it's something that everybody wants to talk about.
So when you think about climate change and you're explaining to others what climate change means and why it's important, I mean, how do you do that? How do you explain it?
Well, for me, I explain climate change in a way that we are emitting so much greenhouse gases, particulate matter from cars, and we are going to be in a world of hurt if we continue to do that. And so instead of increasing the Earth's temperature and increasing the amount of ozone in our air, we can take certain steps personally or on a global scale or a neighborhood scale, a statewide scale, to help reduce those emissions. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to do that. Sometimes you always hear like, well, you know, another country is emitting pollution. And so, you know, we're never going to make up for that. But that's just such the wrong way to look at it.
I get that a lot. I get a lot of people saying it's China and it's India.
Yeah.
So that's, we shouldn't have to focus on it. And if not us, who? We have the technology, the know-how, the innovation. And we certainly do our share.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that building a program here locally to reduce, you know, the amount of gasoline cars on our road, just demonstrating that it works and that there's a cool factor there. So if we're going to mainstream these programs, we have to be able to have something that the mainstream would be interested in. And lo and behold, we happen to have these cars that are amazing technology to drive around when you get behind the wheel.
Another argument people will sometimes say with EVs specifically is that if you have a large percentage of coal in your energy makeup, then maybe it's worse than gasoline. Maybe it's better, but it's close. And that might be true, that it's certainly not as good if you have a strong coal makeup in your energy mix. But in California, we don't. And all over the country, the mix is getting cleaner and cleaner.
Exactly.
So as it gets cleaner and cleaner, we're just putting the solution into place.
Yes.
So that as we get cleaner energy, we have the cars that run on it.
Exactly, and I totally agree. Yes, coal is not a resource that we want to be plugging our electric vehicles in. But if you look at 30 of our 50 states, at least through 2019, are going to have a utility that has a resource plan. So meaning that they're going to be working to get their utility to 100% renewable. If you have states that start going this way and you have utilities that are doing this, it's almost like you're putting upward pressure on policy that we will, in effect, turn those coal, you know, generating stations, we'll remove that from our resource.
You know, it's very exciting. I'll say something in a very high level way, but as an accepted truth without having much behind it. And then you reel out all these facts. Build the argument that I just made.
Yeah.
So thank you.
That particular fact is Union of Concerned Scientists. So there you go.
Thank you. So you should maybe go into politics or go into what you're doing.
Yeah.
Build programs.
I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. So it's difficult to leave the comfort of a company that appreciates you a lot, because I know they did and do at SDG&E, and that paycheck that always comes and go out on your own. So you must have had some motivation to do this beyond the money, some import to it for you.
Exactly. I think because I did, you know, they always tell you should leave your company. If you do decide to take another job, and especially go out into consulting, you should always have a client. Well, I left without a client because we were so busy rolling out our EV program at SDG&E. And so I just knew that in my heart of hearts that this is something that I've always wanted to do. It's innate in me to especially focus on electric vehicles. And all of my clients that I currently have been sent to me by referral. And it's been fantastic to have now a whole year's worth of work in my consulting company and have these really cool clients to show for it.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Awesome. Your list goes on, by the way, as you reel them off to me. So tell me, so we talked a little bit about why you did it and the meaningfulness behind it. But I guess I'd like to hear about a setback, something that was really difficult that you had to persevere through.
I think anytime that you launch your own company, and especially if it's your own consulting company, because right now I am S-Curve Strategies. And so I thought that I was going to have setbacks because, for example, when you're working in an office and you don't have people to bounce things off of, you know, every day. I mean, every second of the day, there's always some colleague you can walk around the corner to and you can ask them questions. And, hey, what do you think about this? And, hey, what do you think about that? And I think it's not necessarily a setback, but it's just learning to trust your own instincts that you do know your own industry and you are really good at what you do. Because it's, I think, that second guessing yourself, especially when you're going the client route initially. That can maybe cause some stress, but it's really something I think that all business owners put on themselves. And then you see all these successes that you have after rolling out your programs and working strategically with your clients. And it's like, yeah, this is exactly what I want to be doing. It's still fun. And, you know, each person that I'm working with within my client, they're the expert on that EV side. So that's how I'm getting my, you know, I'm feeling satiated by those conversations with those really smart people.
Very nice. Very nice. So you talked about successes. So what would you say is your biggest success so far?
I think really some of my biggest successes are what I like to call the EV superfecta. So it's, So it's the EV superfecta, and it's how you can meld in kind of every EV program has to have four key things. Utilities, I think, play a big role because that's where you're getting your electricity from. I think policy and regulators is the second one. You have to have customers that are excited about it and that are on board is the third one. And then the fourth one is the EV collaboratives. So if you can engage all four of
those four
to make this kind
you
of
want
EV...
to call, you don't want to call it a quad factor?
What? Oh, I could. But yeah, to kind of make this EV stakeholder superfecta, if you're not engaging all four of those areas, your EV program will not be successful. If you are engaging all four of those areas, your EV program will be successful. And that goes for even down to the municipality level, to the state level. And, you know, might I say, if the feds are listening, you know, we can create an awesome plan for you. We just need to have some policy changes.
Yeah. At least they haven't been hit too much.
Yeah.
I think we can be thankful for that. I laughed when you said superfecta, because I'm going to say it wrong. I always put the ER at the end, superfector. But one of the reasons I laughed, well, the reason I laughed is because in all but one of the episodes that I've done, the term trifecta has come up.
Oh, see, yeah. we're beyond trifecta.
Now we're beyond it.
We're beyond trifecta.
Don't need your stinking trifecta. Yeah. Got me a superfecta.
I got your superfecta right here. Yep, we do.
But someone like has five. They have the extrafecta.
Yeah.
So when you look at the future for EVs or even for climate, so you can go beyond EVs if you want, what is your vision of the future? You could go 5 years out, 10, 20, but what do you see out there?
I mean, my vision is that from an economic standpoint, people will understand, especially from a mainstream level, that impacting climate change in a positive way is actually economically beneficial for the country as a whole. You can even make it economically beneficial for your region. But for example, for me personally, I mean, this is something that I've built my career on. And you see the new technologies that are coming out and the policy changes that are being made to enable these technologies, the money being spent. So just in California alone, $1 billion is being spent just this year moving forward on EV programs. And that's not including the billions being spent outside of California. And so I think it's really exciting to see what the Northeast is doing, what the Northwest is doing as far as transportation electrification. And I see that just continuing to grow. So I, for the future, you know, my hope is that it will no longer be about California, because everybody else is doing just as cool things as, you know, we're doing here.
I am not a smoker. I'm just going to say that in my life. I have not smoked cigarettes ever.
Well, thank you for this information.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm an odd person. I'm going to tell you why. And I really haven't smoked that many cigars. But last week I was in Old Town with a friend.
Uh-huh.
And he said, come with me. And he took me to a cigar place,
uh-huh.
an inside cigar place, uh-huh. where you could smoke inside. And again, I'm not a smoker. But we ran in. It's kind of a nice, like, old-timey place.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of interesting. And there were these two gentlemen talking, and we sat down, and we started talking to them. And the one gentleman talked about he'd been retired for 30 years. He was in the oil and gas sector.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to us, he was giving us stock advice, oil and gas, that's where you want to be. It's the one thing. There'll always be more people, and always be more people driving. And so it's very safe, very safe. And beside the fact that it's certainly been very cyclical in my lifetime, I did tell him, what do you think about electric, or I asked him, what do you think about electric vehicles? And he said, it'll never happen. I said, you know, I drive an electric vehicle, and my wife does. But more important than that, if you read what the auto industry is investing in themselves, where they're putting their R&D, and you even look at oil and gas companies,
right?
And they're trying to diversify into electric. That's uh-huh. where I think they see the future as well.
Right. I have an oil and gas company as a client. I mean, one of the biggest in the world. And the motivation that they have, because they know that the future, where it's going, and just the motivation that they have to grow technology and to take advantage of the, you know, great things that are happening in this space. And you can see the writing on the wall from a policy standpoint of where many states are going. I mean, a lot of people don't know that in California that you have to, as an automaker, you have to offer a very energy efficient car. And if you're not meeting those numbers, then you can't sell in the state. And if more and more states pick that up, I mean, that would just be fantastic. And states already are. Many states are.
Some might argue that that's political and that could reverse, but I think mm-hmm. an important comeback is it's not just the United States.
Oh, exactly.
All over the world, there's an acknowledgement that something needs to be done about climate, and electrification of transportation is one of the awesome ways you can do it and actually benefit in the type of vehicle you drive.
Exactly. And even China is doing that. So in order for you to have a manufacturing plant there, you have to offer electric vehicles. And I mean, it's amazing to see a country like that, who is a huge emitter, but they're also seeing the writing on the wall and that they are going to have to step up.
Absolutely. So do you have any questions for me?
What do you see for the next 5 years?
What?
In transportation electrification.
Well, what's interesting is that when I used to talk about this, I think it was in 2009, so not 5 years ago, a little further back, but people would say that I was talking about science fiction. I would put pictures of the Leaf up, because that was the only one that I could get a picture of.
Right.
It was before they came out, and people really believed it was science fiction and it would never happen. So now I think people don't feel like it's science fiction at all. I had one engineer tell me back then, that the price could never come down of storage enough to ever make it work.
Right.
So for the next 5 years, I've already seen vehicles come out that blow my mind. You know, and if you look at the vehicle projection chart, you know, it shows a lot of, you know, auto companies coming out with some amazing vehicles, you know, 18-wheelers that are electric.
The medium and heavy duty is amazing.
And SUVs which will open up that market, and trucks will open up that market. I think 5 years, that's kind of short term. I think more growth like we've been seeing it, but so I'm just going to say more of the same in the next 5 years, where more and more people pick it up, more people drive it, more people enjoy it, and more people believe that this is the future. Now, if you ask me 10, I would say incredible momentum happens somewhere between 5 and 10, because I think the price will drop enough on the batteries and the numbers will increase enough in the sales that the overall vehicle will be less expensive in a more obvious way and attract more customers more quickly. So I think the real hockey stick happens in 5 to 10 years, but I'd like to see it sooner.
Exactly. Well, and it's interesting too, just when you talk about interstate corridors and things. So how are they setting up interstate corridors to be able to, you know, aid medium duty and heavy duty trucks so that they too, you know, I mean, everybody's on a has been on freeways with lots of semi trucks around, and the technology is just increasing so much to electrify those, and that's exciting.
You know, I just took a look at a proposal that Josh Gerber is looking to make and get funded in some way that he wants me to take a look at, and it was very exciting. It was right on that topic.
Oh, cool.
And he had some incredible ideas. Yeah. Yay. So very exciting stuff.
I'll have to give Josh a call.
So is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you really want to get out there?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to attempt to wrap it up then, and I'm going to wrap it up with a rap, okay?
All right.
So here goes. April Bulldog, more than what you see. She started this amazing S-Curve Strategies company. So if you find yourself stuck in a tranche, EVs is what she will launch. She has so much work. She's kind of in a tizzy, but she's super happy when she's busy. So if you're excited about the EV sector, talk to her about the Superfecta.
Woo! That was awesome. That was great.
Thank you so much, April.
Yeah, thank you. Even Rocket agrees.
April's dog, Rocket, was kind enough to hold the barking until the very end. Otherwise, things could have been rough. But how could he not get excited about April's passion for launching EVs? The cool, fun, fast, powerful way to mitigate climate change.